to turn there with us. If you're in need of a Bible, the usher would count it a privilege to make sure you have one. Just raise your hand. They'll pass the Bible over to you. Or if you need a pencil to keep notes, you can keep notes on your bulletin as a place. But if you need a pencil or a Bible, just get the usher's attention. And of course, if you need that Bible, it's yours. There's no charge for it. We want you to have it. But for all of us, Luke chapter 10 is where we're at this morning. Luke 10 will be starting in verse 38, towards the end of the chapter there. Luke 10, starting in verse 38. Well-known portion of Scripture this morning, but let's not let familiarity keep us from all that God has for us, because we can be assured that every time we come to God's Word, there's something for each one of us. That's the awesome thing. God builds into His Word something for each one of us this morning. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. We jump in as Jesus and those with Him, His disciples and all, are traveling along together. And it says, "Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him." The distraction of many things like Martha? Or will we be found every day choosing the good part at Jesus' feet like Mary did? Again, not what do we say, but what will each day actually find us doing? I've called our time together this morning based on verse 42 there. I've called our time together this morning, "One thing is needed." Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the fact that you make new, that your mercies are new every morning, that we can gather not looking backwards, but we can look up and we can look forward and we can just move on because we're new creations in you. But Lord, we also know that we can, and indeed perhaps some of us are, overloaded, distracted, troubled with the many things that life can throw at us. And Lord, you know what we do, not just say, but what we do in terms of what we choose each day to be about. Lord, I just pray in this time, speak to our hearts about the one needed thing. Lord, if it's conviction we need, so be it. When it's from you, we know it's loving, and you want to accomplish good things, because behind all of this is the fact that you love us and you're concerned when we get distracted and overburdened and troubled by the many things. And you're inviting us. So Lord, help us. Help us to hear this as just that, an invitation to be about the one needed thing, you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just travel through the text this morning and see what the Lord might have for each of us as we've gathered on this New Year's Day. Look at verse 38 with me again. "Now as it happened, this is Jesus and his disciples, as they went, they entered a certain village." John tells us it's the village of Bethany. "And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" As I mentioned earlier, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, but let's not let that cause us to tune out. And guys, just because it appears to be about two women, let's not dismiss it because of that. Because it's not just about two women, of course. It's about any of us who this morning were stressed out, weighted down, overburdened. And perhaps for some of you, you're very close to burnout. It is Martha's story, but it's the story of a whole lot of us, if we would admit it. Because we are busy people. We recently had a pastor from Nairobi come and visit us. Many of you were here. Pastor Stephen was here. And I asked Pastor Stephen, you know, what his take on America is, what his impression on America was. And you might think he'd comment about our big freeways or our many restaurants or things like that, the availability of food and all. But you know what he said that impressed him the most or struck him the most? He said, "You guys are so busy." And we are. We are a busy people. Seemingly, we just cram more and more, try to cram more and more into our lives. But the result is we can get overburdened, stressed. We can become troubled with the many things that life throws at us. This morning, I want us to see that Jesus cares greatly about the burdens we bear. He understands these weights, the loads that life can put upon us. And the Lord's not down on us for it. He aches for us because, see, He never designed it to be this way. And for all our rushing and overcrowding and all, we're missing out on what He designed. Because God did indeed design a better way for you and I to live. And I pray this morning we'll see that better way and we'll choose it. Let's consider Martha for a moment. Look again at verse 40 with me. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha meant really well. She wants to prepare a meal for Jesus. Jesus has come to visit, and He's brought along some of the disciples and all are with Him. And so she wants to prepare a nice meal for Him. Nothing wrong with that. She wants to bless Him. But as you know, that can involve so much sometimes. Many of you, maybe just this last, over the holidays, you put together a meal, and you know how it can just seem to build and get out of hand, and you're trying to get everything ready at the same time, and pretty soon you're stressed and overwhelmed by it. So she means well here, but something's happened. She's gotten distracted, it says, with her much serving. She's troubled, anxious. Martha had a lot to get done. And let's face it, the food's not going to cook itself. Maybe you've tried that. It doesn't work. Somebody's got to fix this meal. You ever been in that place? I mean, you might say to me this morning, Pastor, messages about sitting at Jesus' feet are all fine and good, Pastor, but my boss ain't going to buy that. I got to get to work. My creditors aren't going to buy that. Well, I would have paid you, but I decided to sit at Jesus' feet all week. My family's not going to buy that. The house repairs around here, those things, that's not going to work. I got a lot of things tugging to me, and if somebody doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. And guess who it falls upon, Pastor? Life does have several demands. And of course, there's a place for working and taking care of home and all those things. But Martha's problem isn't her intentions. And her problem isn't that she was serving. So its problem is not that her serving or her motive is wrong, but notice what has happened to her attitude while doing it. It's good to serve the Lord. But serving the Lord is supposed to be a result of spending time at Jesus' feet, not a substitute for it. And when serving and doing becomes a substitute, you'll tell it real quick. You're tense. You're short. You bite everybody. You're upset. Everything seems to bother you. See, serving the Lord is meant to be a result of a relationship with Him, not the basis for it. It's the outcome of fellowship. Martha's error this morning, as we look at this text, Martha's error was not in serving nor in her motive, but it was in her priorities. Yes, she has to do some of these things, and we have many things we need to do. But what has priority in our life? So serving, of course, is good, but the issue is priorities. The many demands of life can begin to displace the more needed thing, because Jesus said one thing is really needed. Time with Him. Hearing His Word. Sitting at His feet, worshiping Him and letting Him minister to us. A Bible commentator of years past named Oswald Chambers, good reading if you ever choose to read some of his stuff. But Oswald Chambers said, "Beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for Him." Interesting thought. That sometimes in even our very serving of Him, we get so busy that the priorities are upside down. Instead of it being a result of time with Him, it has gotten in the way of it. It has displaced his rightful place in our lives. Notice in our text this morning that Martha actually gets to the point that she questions the Lord's care for her. Look at verse 40 again, in the middle of it. She approaches the Lord and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Tell her to get up and get out here in the kitchen. Lord, don't you care about me? Don't you care that I'm alone in doing this? Tell her to get up and help me." Think of it. The one who she started out with the heart's desire to bless and to serve, she's gotten so much into the details of that that the one she wanted to bless, she's now accusing. How do we get there? But she's there. She's actually gotten to the point where the thing, the doing, was more important than the relationship. It had gotten in the way of the relationship with him. And she's accusing him of not caring. You ever been there? So overloaded that you accuse the Lord of not caring. Where are you, God? I don't get this. Don't you care? I'm burning out. I'm so tired. I feel like I'm all alone in this. Don't you care what I'm going through? Send someone to help me. Wake those guys up. Get them going with me. Oh, you maybe never said it out loud, but more often we can be tempted to think it in our hearts. Where is he? Lord, don't you care what I'm going through? Notice Jesus' answer to her now. Join me here in verse 41. Hear this answer not just to Martha, but hear it spoken to us. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Martha, Martha. I don't know how you hear that. We don't have the audio version of our Bibles. We weren't there to hear it spoken. We just have the written word. How do you hear it? Martha, Martha. I don't hear it like that. I think it's with compassion. It's her, Martha, Martha. You're troubled. You're overburdened. You're distracted by many things. This morning, I ask you, could the Lord put your name in verse 41 and it would be an accurate verse? Could the Lord, if the truth be told, put your name or my name in here and it would fit us just as well as Martha? Would the Lord this morning want to say, "Dale, Dale, you're worried and troubled about many things, so busy"? Would the Lord be able to put your name in there this morning? Slow down and think about it. Joe, Susie, Pete. And if I said your name, I'm trying to offend anybody. I'm just giving examples. But put your name in there and be up front. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Could your name fit in there? Probably at one time or another, we all can relate to this. But how much of what troubles us, burdens us, weighs us down is because of the holes we dig for ourselves and the way we choose to handle them? See, unfortunately, even though we know Christ as Savior, sometimes we're still susceptible to deception, and the world and the enemy and all comes along and tells us you need more. And it's subtle and we buy into it. And we start going with, we start believing, or we haven't let go of the old views that we've got to keep up with the Joneses, you know, the neighbors. And somehow we start believing if we're really going to have peace, if I'm really going to be whole in life, we still think somehow maybe it's rooted in if I just have enough money. If I just get my retirement account squared away, then I'll be okay. If I just had that car, that outfit, that house, that stereo, that computer, whatever it is you put in there. See, we say the Lord is enough and he's what I really need, but we live in such a way that what we really believe is it's something else. And so more and more and more. And we pack our life with all these things. Why are we so busy? What are we looking for? And yes, life has demands. We have to go to work. At least most of us. and or school or And yes, and houses need repair, and of course we all recognize that. But when they start distracting, and we start even bringing them into our lives, thinking that somehow in doing that, that everything's going to be okay, and that's what I really need, that's where I'm going to find my wholeness and completeness. So on and on we go, and we build all these things, we get so busy. But Jesus says to Martha, no, only one thing is needed. You're distracted by many things, but there's only one thing that's needed. Time at His feet. What is it to sit at His feet? Look at verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and what? Heard His word. Jesus had more for them. He wanted to speak to them, teach them, guide them, minister to them, encourage them. All those things He has for them. And Mary's not going to miss any of it. She's going to stay right there at His feet that she might receive all that He has. What is it to sit at His feet? It's to be a disciple. It's to commit to consistently getting into His Word and letting His Word get into you. It's to being a hearer and a doer of what God has said. To sit at His feet is to have your priorities right. It's to say, yes, life has all these things for me, and I need to tend to them, but first things first. The one thing I really need is time with Him, because, see, that's how we were made, with time with Him. And now we come to a crucial point in that. Look at verse 42. But one thing is needed. There's one thing you and I really need. I know what the world says. You need more money. No, but there's one thing I really need in my soul, in my spirit, my heart, my life. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. There's a key word in there. It's the word chosen. The answer to our stress, to our worry, to our overburdenedness is going to involve a choice. And for some, it'll mean major changes in priorities. But it begins with, and every day will be rooted in, choice. You have to choose to take that time. Choose to sit at His feet. She has chosen, it says, the good part. There are no shortcuts. And I can't choose this for you, and you can't choose it for me. I can't spend time at His feet for you, nor you for me. And the Lord won't make us do this. He waits. Oftentimes sits alone. As He's waiting for you to come spend that time, as you rush off in your day saying, tomorrow or next week, next month. But He won't make you. Just as He didn't make you receive Him as Savior, He won't make you spend time with Him. There's going to be a choice here. So Mary chose, and that's an act of the will. Now you can do that with God's help, His Spirit, His power. You can do that. But that's our part of this equation. It's an act of the will. And remember, things are never going to cooperate. If you find yourself saying, well, I will spend that time, and I know I need it, and I should, and I really kind of want to, but and I will once I, and then you fill in the blank. Well, if you fill in the blank with something, you know what? If you're waiting for everything to cooperate, it's never going to happen. If you're someone that believes that for you to be at peace, for you to do well, for you to that you need to have all your ducks in a row, then you're going to be a frustrated person. Because you know what? I've lived long enough that I found something out. Ducks don't stay in a row. Just when you think you got everything lined up, they start wandering everywhere, don't they? Just when you think, okay, I think everything's, I got the bills paid, and I think I'm caught up on my correspondence, and the house is working okay, and then all of a sudden the wife walks in and goes, you got a flat tire. Oh, man. And that's just a corny example maybe, but you know what it's like. Houses always need repair. Cars always breaking down. Things always need tending, it seems like. And you need to take care of them, sure. But if you need everything perfect, then I'll spend time with the Lord. If you You're giving things the power of you. And you'll be distracted by the many things. Because there's always going to be something that wants that time, that place. I've heard it said, you want to remember something that you can't seem to remember, you've forgotten, then sit down and spend time with the Lord. The enemy makes sure you remember it. Remember, you're supposed to call that guy. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, Lord, I'll get back to you. I better go call him. Pastor Chuck Smith says he puts a notepad beside him when he prays. And as he's praying, if all of a sudden he remembers something, he just jots it down and gets back to praying. I'll take care of that later. Do what it takes, but don't let that time be stolen from you. There will always be many things demanding our attention, but one thing is needed, and we must choose it. Make a conscious choice to choose it. Do you hear this as an invitation? I hope you do. Listen to the Lord inviting you. Matter of fact, I'd like to put up on the overhead over here another verse about invitation. Listen to the Lord's invitation. There we go. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Well-known passage here, but listen to the Lord. The Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's an invitation that Jesus extends to all of us. And we all read this and we mentally agree with these well-known verses. Yes, awesome stuff. There's an invitation. I can come. I can cast my cares upon Him. I can learn of Him. He'll give me rest and all. We see this, but it's not a reality for a lot of people. Well, why? Why aren't we finding rest? Remember what I said about choices? She chose the better thing. Look at the choices. Read it again. Come to me. That's a choice. All you laboring are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. That's a choice. Learn from me. You see, come, take, learn. That's our part. And that, again, is a choice that you make. Come, take, learn. I think a lot of us don't experience the rest for our souls because we really don't hunger enough for it yet. Down deep, we still think we can do it. We think we're supposed to do it. We have to do it. Our whole upbringing teaches us to be like the little train that said, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." And so we keep on going, keep on trying, keep coming up, trying to come up with our answers. And we try to do it with our strength. And you know what? May I share something? Even if you do get to the end of your day and you've survived, and you basically got through it, if you didn't come, if you didn't take, if you didn't learn, then dare I say, you missed what your day was really supposed to be about. You missed out on knowing Jesus better through that day. You missed out on knowing His strength, His wisdom, His agenda for your day, His will. You're not the better off because even if you were a little train that got over the top of the hill today, you made it through. Great. But you settled for far less than He had for you. You see, you were never designed to travel this life on your own. You were never designed to carry these things on your own. Yes, I am. I'm a man. I can handle it. Man's got to do what a man's got to do. I can handle my day. Well, again, great. You got through your day by yourself. That's not what you were designed for. You're designed to walk in fellowship with the Lord. God didn't save you to put you on the shelf. He saved you to get back into fellowship with why He made you in the first place. And in that fellowship throughout the day, we can come, we can take, we can learn. And in that, we discover rest for our soul. But there's a choice here. But now we come to a very important part of these choices. Notice what else it says here. It says what? Come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. Our great one need is Jesus. personal. That's personal. Come to me. It's not come to religion. Not come to your good works. Not come to formality and rituals. It's not churchianity. It's not just church attendance in itself. Come to me. That's about as personal as it can get. You'll find rest, help, strength, wisdom in no place else than personal fellowship with Him. And it's meant to be daily. See, that's the one needful thing. To sit at His feet. The one needed thing. The good part that Mary chose is found at Jesus' feet. In Galatians 5, we have this list of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Great list of the fruits of the Spirit. That which we should be experiencing in our lives. Great list, but again, for too many people, it's a foreign concept. Truth be told, there's no peace, even for a lot of believers. How do we get this fruit then? How do we make this a reality? It's fruit. John 15, 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How do I get that fruit in my life? Working hard? Being a good person? No. I have to abide, dwell in, sit at his feet. And it's abide, there it is, personal again, in me, Jesus said. In me. Do you know him like that? For some, you hear that and you go, I don't even get that. What? Yes, you can know him that way. Personally, close, intimate. Him by his Spirit speaking to your heart. Throughout the day being led and having wisdom to just all those things. His Word working in your life, being a lamp unto every decision, guiding your feet. As you travel through your day, he who abides in me, he who sits at Jesus' feet is the idea. That's our answer right there, just like Martha, sitting at, abiding in Jesus. Remember what Jesus said over in Revelation chapter 2? In beginning part of Revelation, of course, Jesus writes letters to seven churches and he's speaking about different issues going on with them. And second chapter of the book of the Revelation, he's writing to a church at Ephesus. And he begins speaking to them and he says, you know, I know your works. And he goes on speaking about that, how certain things about them he's kind of commending them for. I know your works and all those things you're into. But then what's he say though? He says, but nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Here's a church that had the works, but didn't have the fellowship. They had the labor. They labored for Jesus, but they didn't have the love for Jesus. Think about that. Not that works were wrong. He doesn't say the works are wrong. But there first has to be this love relationship. And that all that we do should be an extension of that, not a replacement for it. That is what he desires. They had the motions, but no emotion. I see your works. I see all you're doing. But I've got this against you. You've left what we're supposed to be all about. This first love relationship. Of course, he goes on to tell them, repent. Turn around. Get back and do those basics again. Get back to fellowship with me. First things first. And so the call this morning is to sit at his feet. Before you can do for the Lord. And of course we're called to serve. There's a world that needs to know him. The world needs to know his touch, his encouragement, all those things. But before we can do, we must first be. We must be in him and about him and abiding in him and sitting at his feet. That way, whatever he does is at his leading, and it's him doing it through us. It all comes from fellowship with him. Serve, yes, but first things first, we are called to be worshipers. God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. He saved you to have fellowship with you, not to rush off into the day saying, manana, I'll maybe spend time with him. But you were created to spend time with him each and every day. Now consider this. Look at the end of verse 42 now. We're getting down to the end of our passage. It says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha comes running in. Tell her to get up and get out in the kitchen and help me. And Jesus goes, Martha, Martha, you're troubled. You're distracted by many things. You're caught up in all this stuff. So much so that she just accused the Lord of not caring. But Martha, Mary, well, he says, one thing is needful, and Mary's chosen that thing. She's chosen that good part, and I'm not about to take it away from her. God wants that time with you. And he says, I'm not going to take that away, and yet we do. We allow many things to take away time with him. Again, of course, we have to take care of the issues of life. But if it's gotten in the way of him, then you're upside down. Priorities are wrong. And you'll wonder, what am I here for? What's going on? How did I wind up getting in this place? And pretty soon we're barking at everybody because they won't cooperate with us. And we're trying to push our agendas through. And all those things that happen when we're not spending that time. And Jesus says, he wasn't taking it away. See, we think things are so needful, so pressing, and there are, don't get me wrong, but be careful if they get the driver's seat in your life. Don't let things set the agenda of your day and your life, what you're about. As I said, there'll always be those many things, those many distracting things. But Jesus says if we will pick the most needed thing, he won't take it away. So if it's being taken away by something, is that what he wants you to do? Is that thing from him then? No. So take your agenda, your plans of every day to the Lord. Say, Lord, what's of you in this? You order, you arrange it. And first things first, let your day timer have him at the very top. You see, if your time with him is taking it away, that's not Jesus doing it. Because he says she's chosen the good part and it won't be taken away from her. Jesus died to spend time with us, not to take it away from us. Do you value it like he does? What will the new year hold for you? What will you really be about? What will I be about? It's a challenge. It's an exhortation, but how needful it is. What will this new year find you being about? What will we choose each day to be about? Will we be distracted by the many things? Or will each day find us choosing the good part? The one thing that's needed for our souls? Will it find us choosing to sit at his feet? I invite you this morning, hear all this as an invitation from Jesus to you. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. A moment ago, I challenged you to put your name there for Martha. May the Lord now be able to put our name in Mary's place. One thing is needful, and Joe, Pete, Susie has chosen that good part, and I'm not going to take it away from her. Let's stand. Worship team is going to come up and close us in song together. There'll be prayer partners available over here by the prayer room if you need prayer this morning. Maybe something spoke to you. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're anticipating some rough days coming up. Whatever. Maybe you just like to give praise to God. Come give prayer. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What will this year, each day, be for you? For you, in the midst of all you got going on. And I know, a lot of demands out there. But what will each day find us choosing to make top priority? Will it be a year of many things distracting us? Or a year of the one thing that is needed being top priority? If this last year was a year dominated by stress, if truth be told, you'd say, man, it was just a year of work and hassle, and I was stressed and the many things, then how will this coming year be any different unless you make a new choice? And that's the answer. How can you change it? By choosing. Choosing the one thing that's needed. Jesus is inviting you this morning. Spend time at His feet. He doesn't require a theological degree. He doesn't require you to know every book of the Bible, everything memorized, everything else. He just says, come on in and let's spend some time together. Will you give me your day? Will you listen to my word? We begin to really spend that time with Him in His word. Serve? Yes, we're called to serve. But be a worshiper first. Father, I pray that You'll speak to, exhort, convict our hearts if it need be, Lord. But Lord, if we've been overburdened, if anyone here today, Lord, is in that place of saying that this is where they're at, thank You, Lord, that You make new. Thank You that there are this, that new beginning You'll give. Thank You that it's just a decision away. Father, I pray You help us all to each day choose to be about You. Choose to spend time in Your Word. Choose to let You guide and direct. Choose to be in that surrendered mode all day long to Your Spirit. Lord, help us to take that time. Lord, forgive us if we have had the many things in the driver's seat. If we've been distracted. We're so distracted by our much serving too often, Lord. Help us. Help us be those who are about the one needful thing. And Lord, thank You that You extend this invitation, that You're available, that You, the God of this universe, offer Yourself that we might know You and spend time with You and walk in You. Lord, don't let us settle for anything less. Thank You. Thank You for the one needful thing. In Jesus' name, amen.